He wasn't angry with me. He just didn't want to tell people what he knew, because he was smart enough to know that. And there had always been turkeys here like they were in those days when I took that job. So when he was passing away, when his time was up, he called me, and he was in Texas with my sister, and for the first time in 20-some years, he says, in a weak voice, he said, bring you turkey hunting stuff. So I did. And when I got there, he was gone 2 days later. And in the corner of that room was his mossy oak bottomland stuff. And the last turkey gun I bought him, in the pocket of that coat,
camel boots on his coat, my feet,
was two
hand,
Winchester shells.
In the early dawn to climb.
Hey, Redbone, did you hear about that new deer feed?
What new deer feed?
Hey, Buck Grits, boys, you ain't heard of that yet?
Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com.
Well, tell us about it. What makes it better than any other deer feed?
Well, Buck Grits has got the protein a deer needs. It's got the fat a deer needs. It's got the amino acids. It's got the energy. It's got it all, brother. It's going to bring them back after the rut, and it's going to put a rack on their head.
And it's going to help the lactating does, I assume, too, after they have the fawns.
That's right. Keep the fawns going and get them for the next crop.
Well, where can I get Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com. You can get a sample, you can order it directly from the website, and we're coming to a retailer near you.
If you want to help a deer herd, use Buck Grits.
I've been on a big boy for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler, take it to a field, across a creek, up a big old hill. Year after year, got my hunting gear.
Buck Grits presents American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends. This is Wayne Locke. I got Mike Crace working the magic board here in the studio with me. Alex is not able to be here. He is out turkey hunting right now. And
Imagine that. He's
working a gobbler, and you are not going to be able to, you're not going to tear him away from a gobbler to chime in on a phone call.
Or do anything else.
Pretty much, yeah. And he's been working these. I mean, it's been tough here in Missouri. Yeah. And I know, Ron, we're going to.
In Arkansas.
And speaking of here, I'm talking to Ron. I haven't introduced him yet, but we have Ron Jolly as our guest today, and Ron's on the phone with us. And Ron, you calling from home by chance?
Yes, sir, I am.
And where is home?
Tuskegee, Alabama, halfway between Montgomery and Auburn.
Awesome. Awesome. And I don't know what your situation is with birds there, but I know out here in the Ozarks, we've been having a tough time with birds responding this last week or so. We're thinking they're probably henned up. Plus, the weather's not cooperating. It's pouring rain right now, and that's never a helpful thing. Plus, it's cold mornings. But he's out there working birds. And the other day, I was trying to roost birds, and I heard one gobble and off across the road from me, and I'm thinking, oh, there's one kind of nearby. It's the first gobble I've heard all season. No, it was just Alex messing with me. So he knew I was out there because I made the mistake of shooting him a text saying, I'll call you when I get back. I'm going to try and see if I can locate a bird on my property. Because I have not, I got WiseEye cameras all over my property, and I do not have one picture of a bird this year, which is not good. And I made the mistake of letting him know I was going over there. So he snuck around and decided he was going to mess with me a little bit. And then he sent me a text after I heard it, and he just, LOL. Yeah. I'm like, all right, that's nice.
All right, before we get into the meat of the program here, Wayne, I've got one question for Ron. Being in Alabama, and you know everybody we have on the show that's from Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Is it Alabama or is it Auburn? What do you got, Ron?
I lived in a mixed household. My wife is Auburn and I'm Alabama.
Okay, well... So the big Auburn Alabama game is quite a day at your house, then, huh?
Yes, sir. It's a celebration for somebody, but not both of us.
All right. So Wayne, go ahead. That's my only question so far.
Yeah, and for our listeners, if you don't know the name Ron Jolly, you're probably not into turkey hunting very much. Because if you are into turkey hunting, then you are. Ron is synonymous with turkey hunting. I mean, he's been around, not to say Ron's old, but he's been around a long time. And if you've watched any of the old Primos videos and that, him and Cuz and Will and all them guys they were the the turkey hunting generation of the 90s, kind of like Alex was with HS. Mm-hmm. You know, they were all coming around the same time, and I imagine that's probably why all these guys get along so good, and they all think alike. And that's an awesome, you know, thing to have, a group of guys that you can grow up with, watch, and then know that later on they're all still sticking together and they all still love each other and love the sport of hunting. And Ron, what Ron is now doing for the turkeys is something we're definitely going to be hitting in on this show. And he's taken a whole new route with this. And we had another guest on, Jim, from a few episodes ago, from Turkeys from Tomorrow. And
yeah.
Ron is also involved with that. And we're going to touch more base on that and how that all developed in that. But Ron, let's start with a little history of you. And that is, who is Ron Jolly? Where are you from? Where'd you go to school? And, you know, did you do college sports, anything like that?
Well, I was born in Northeast Louisiana, right on the Mississippi River. I graduated high school in a little town called Newellton and went to a little small university called Louisiana Tech. I was introduced to turkey hunting at a very young age by my dad. And when I got out of college, I only knew three people who turkey hunted besides me.
Hmm.
And that was my dad and his two best friends. And during turkey season, they never talked to each other. They never swapped tales or told stories. After the season, they would get together, and over an adult beverage and a barbecue pit, they would tell their tales and relive it. And the reason for that was there were very, very few turkeys there in those days.
Yeah.
And when you found one, you stayed with him because you might not find another. And so that's kind of my history. And after college and our career, I farmed with my dad and his two brothers for 20 years. And then I met Will Primos, and one of my hobbies was videoing turkeys, just for the fun of it, not actually hunting them, just finding them and calling them up and videoing them and learning about them. There's something about a wild turkey that once it gets under your skin, you just never get rid of it. You don't ever get over it. I don't know anybody who just said, "I'm through turkey hunting," unless you're health or you go mentally crazy or something.
Right.
But so when I met Will, turned out I had the exact same equipment that they were shooting back in the day, which was a Panasonic SVHS camera. And as luck would have it, he was starting to work on the Truth too. And he let me volunteer for free for a year, every chance I got. And I learned a little bit. And in those days, it wasn't really anybody able to tell you were doing it wrong, because we didn't know what we were doing. But
yeah, it was all new. So. Yeah, it was all brand new.
Yeah, so that's how I got started.
Well, about what? Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, about what year was that, or what year did you go to Louisiana Tech? I'm more interested in that, and I'll tell you why in a second.
I went to Tech from 71 through 73.
Okay, so you're a little bit early. One of my most hated rivals when I was in high school was a guy by the name of Austin Cottenbrocker. He went to Belleville West High School in Belleville, Illinois. And he beat us in football all by himself, practically, when I was playing football in high school, and did the same thing on a baseball field. The guy was faster than any human being I'd ever seen in my life, and he ended up going to Louisiana Tech to play college football. So I thought if you would have been there around 79, 80, 81, that would have been, wow, what a small world. You know. But,
right.
But anyway, you were there prior to that. But anyway, Austin Cottenbrocker.
And said you didn't want to call me old, but you can, because I ain't.
You know, I was just thinking,
I'm not far behind you. Let me tell you that right now.
And I'm not far behind you.
That's right.
Right. And I was just thinking that was awful nice of Will Primos to allow him to volunteer his time and work for the company.
Yeah.
Instead of Will having to pay him. I mean, what a nice guy that is. You know, I mean, boy, at least Will was smart enough to say, hey, I need to keep this guy around. You know? But
the truth. truth be known, Will couldn't afford to pay me in those days.
Well, you can always send him a bill now, I guess. All right, folks, we need to go to a break. Again, we've got Ron Jolly with us here on American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and his friends. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, y'all, it's Tyler Farr, and you're hanging with me and my good buddy, Alex Rutledge, on American Roots Outdoors.
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should too. Make your hunt easier. Use WiseEye.
Of a big old hill. Year after year, got my hunting gear.
Amped Outdoors presents American Roots with Alex Rutledge and friends. This is Wayne Locke, Mike Crayson, working the magic on the board still, and Ron Jolly is on the phone with us still, and we are... You know, we left off, we were talking about some high school times, some college times. Ron, let's move forward a few years here, and let's start talking about family. When did you meet your wife? And for those that don't know his wife, I'm sure as soon as you hear the name, you'll know it, because she's pretty famous for her photography work. But, take it from there, Ron.
I met Tess in 1996. And of all places, in Atlanta, Georgia, at the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention.
Oh.
And not only was she a very beautiful lady, but she was a turkey hunter, too. In fact, she was a guide at White Oak Plantation, which is no longer in existence, but it was a mecca of turkey hunting in the South for years, and she was the only female to ever guide there. And one thing led to the other, and we got married and went on an elk hunt for our honeymoon. She killed her first elk. And as we progressed, I started dragging her into my world, how I made my living, and that was with a video camera and a typewriter at the time. And she was pretty attracted to it, but she was always more interested in still photography. And as time passed, she invested in her first professional equipment, a couple of lenses and a camera, and taught herself how to do it. And right now she's kind of sitting on top of the heap in that world as far as wild turkeys are concerned.
Yes, she is. Mike, you know what you call a woman like that?
No.
A keeper.
A keeper. There you go. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ryan, you mentioned a typewriter. Let's touch on that. I mean, you have a book out that, you know, we always talk, a lot of times we talk about books, and they're like books from the 70s and that were written, or 60s. But this is a new book, and it's Memories of Spring. Tell us a little bit about that and what inspired you to write that.
Well, Memories of Spring is something I worked on for lots of years. It's a compilation of stories about my life as a turkey hunter, really, and the people I met and the places I got to go, and the hard-headed turkeys that I ran into along the way. It'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, but it'll make you appreciate what we've got. The photos in it are all taken by Tess, and she did a great job of matching the photo to the mood of that chapter. And it's a black and white softback book, but we're considering doing a limited edition run of hardcovers. And I'm actually working on another book, but I don't know if I'll live long enough to get it done. But they come slow for me.
Well, it's not like you're going to run out of knowledge to share, that's for sure. I mean, these books are probably not, I wouldn't call them a thin paperback, I imagine, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, so Ron.
It's done very well. I've been very surprised at how well it's been received, but I published it in 2000. year 2000 was just, God really showed me what he had in store for me for the rest of my life in 2020. I mean, not 2000, 2020. That was the year that I published my book. And then right before that, I learned that I'd been inducted into the NWTF Grand National Hall of Fame. And just then Will Primos called me and asked me to share their booth at the convention and to promote my book. So just so many things just lined up. And we all knew in 2020 that there was something going on with turkeys. And that was the beginning of thinking about maybe trying to figure out a way we could help. And that's where Turkeys for Tomorrow came from.
Yeah, and of course, I for people that turkey hunt and or follow turkey hunt or are interested in turkey hunting, about 2020 is when we decided we don't have as many turkeys as we used to. What are we going to do to get more turkey? I mean, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, sir. And what we decided, the way it all came about, after the induction ceremony, there were a bunch of the old Primos guys showed up for that. And mm-hmm. a lot of those guys I hadn't seen in 20 years or more. And we went out to dinner that night and we all decided, hey, we might not ought to wait this long again. So that following June, we all got together and it was a reunion of sorts at White Oak Plantation. And it was just for fun and to catch up, but there was a purpose to it as well. We had a roundtable discussion where everybody was asked to consider the state of the turkeys in the areas they hunted and formulate a question about if you thought that question was answered, it might make a difference. So there were 14 people there, 12 guys and 2 ladies, and the questions were all asked and discussed, and I wrote a story and published it in Gamekeepers magazine called If Not You, Who? And those questions were aired and in that story. But the gist of that was if turkey hunters don't put this on our backs, who's going to do it? So that's our mission, is to try to unite enough people to support research to answer those questions, not specifically those, but just questions that might help turn this around.
Yeah, because if you don't know the answers to the questions, or even what the questions are, I mean, there's nowhere to go. So, I mean, I think y'all started right in formulating the questions and then trying to find the answers, because I mean, that really is where you've got to start.
Well, it wasn't quite that simple.
sure.
The money's hard to come by, guys. And each one of those 14 people put up a certain amount of money, and we blew through that with the first lawyer, you know.
Sure.
But establishing a 501c3 and a website and eventually a store on the website and CPAs and all the things that you got to be able to do, it takes a lot of money. And we intentionally made it hard on ourselves by working on an 80-20 split. And by that, I mean 80% of the funds that we raise are designated to go straight toward turkey research, or at some point maybe habitat improvement if we don't have the right project ready. That 80% is not staying in a bank account. It's going to work. So within a year of getting our 501c3, we announced the first project that we funded in Alabama. And then that project turned into a four-fold study. The first one was just a gobbling chronology study on private and public land. And then that morphed into a nesting study where we intended to band 40 hens. Not band, but GPS collar 40 hens.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of decisions being made on season openers and stuff based on the suspicion that we may be killing these old gobblers before they've actually bred enough hens. And so we took that on. And as of today, we had like 250 harvested gobblers that we're going to do a sperm count study on to see, you know, if and what their sperm counts are, whether it be a mature or an immature gobbler. And we're doing disease work on those carcasses as well. And then a big, huge problem here is feral hogs.
Sure.
And as luck would have it, another professor just concluded a feral hog study on white-tailed deer and noticed how much better the turkey population was doing where the hogs were being controlled. So now we've morphed into that. We're doing that, another one with him on impact of hogs on turkeys.
All right, and then we need to take a break here, Ron. And interesting stuff, and we might get into a little bit more of the findings from some of those studies as we continue with American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and friends. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Preston Pittman, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and his friends.
Up a big old hill, year after year, got my
How many of you are tired of your batteries running out of energy, out of power? Let me tell you about Amped Outdoors. I've changed using the batteries I have had in the past. Amped Outdoors, I have the new 80 amp, 24 volt, single battery, weighs 46 pounds. This thing has produced energy all day long. Tested for 2 days, total use 11 hours. Cannot tell the batteries have even lost any energy. Go to Amped Outdoors if you want to be successful and not run out of power.
And my old pair of hunting boots passed on down, planted deep in the ground around your heart.
Apex Ammunition presents American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends. This is Wayne Locke in the studio with Mike Crace, and we have Ron Jolly on the phone. And Ron, we were talking about programs that you know Turkeys for Tomorrow is putting out, and it kind of made me think of. And you had mentioned the word in the, you know, in one of your sentences in the last segment, and that was mission. And that's probably one of the things when I started researching, you know, the Turkeys for Tomorrow that really stuck out in my head right off the bat was your mission statement. And it's unlike any other mission statement I've ever read before from any other organization. So if you can do us a favor, share that mission statement, and it really, I think, will help listeners understand what Turkeys for Tomorrow is all about. And it's not your normal run-of-the-mill turkey club. Go ahead.
I'm gonna look it up so I can make sure I say it exactly right. We promote America's hunting traditions, conservation, and education through the timeless collaboration of hunters and wildlife professionals to ensure we all have turkeys for tomorrow.
Simple.
Yeah, well, a very strong statement, but very simple as well.
Right. I mean, you're talking four sentences. That, you know, to me, just sums up everything and so much in just four sentences. And it's four sentences that are written in stone. And I don't foresee a reason to ever have to change, you know, in the future. You know, some people say, well, we got to rethink our mission and that. But to me, that mission right there is going to be the same mission probably 20 years from now, 30 years from now. Yeah.
Well, Ron, let's talk about it. And you mentioned some of the studies that have been done, and as a longtime turkey hunter and one of the best out there, have there been some findings along the way so far that made you scratch your head and go, I didn't realize that?
No, sir. These studies are 3 to 5 year studies.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're in the first year. We've learned a few things. The main thing that I can take from what I've learned so far is the willingness of hunters to help and sound companies who read that mission statement and see that we're really care. We care about all wildlife, obviously, but our mission is focused solely on wild turkeys. We couldn't have gotten to this point without great sponsors, and you just mentioned one of them, and that's Apex Ammunition. But there's Realtree, and there's Sitka, and there's Natural Gear, and there's Pistol Creek Calls, and I could just go on and on. I don't leave anybody out. The Porch Creek Indians, I don't leave anybody out. But it takes, these studies are very expensive. You know, you draw them out over 3 to 5 years, it takes a lot of money. And, you know, we're getting there. I was just delivered another, well, I'm going to say it this way. I fully expect that we will have launched 2 more, maybe 3 more projects in multiple states before the beginning of summer.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, the results are not there yet. They will come. But the main thing that we need is people to support these projects and know that 80% of the money goes there. These projects are they're far reaching. They're very complicated. And a lot of thought went into the design of them. So we've reached out to like Dr. Chamberlain and at the University of Georgia, Dr. Lashley in Florida, Dr. McConnell in Mississippi State. We have working relationships with those guys, and Dr. Will Goosby at Auburn. We work in hand in hand with those guys and institutions right now. And I just got another proposal for a project today that I sent out to my guys, and we'll see, but it's probably going to get funded. And that's our job. Our job is to let those guys figure out where there may be a problem. They're trained. They're biologists. And if they think it's something worth investigating and it might help, then our job is to fund it. And that's our mission, is to try to gather up enough money to let those guys go answer that question. And the good thing about answering these questions, guys, you might not get the answer you want, and it might not be that magic bullet that we're all looking for, because it's going to be more than one thing. But if it's, you prove it's not it, then you don't worry about that anymore. You eliminate that from the pile,
sure,
and focus in on what's left.
You know, Ron, some of the names you had mentioned, I know that that's all from the private sector. How have you been able to present this to the public sector, to the conservation, departments through the government, through the states, for them to say, hey, we like what you're doing. You know, we want to work with you. Or have they reached out to you? Have you reached out to them? I mean, how's that working relationship going?
For instance, the state of Mississippi has reached out to us. The state of Alabama is working with us on a limited basis. They have just concluded a 5-year study of their own. And so they weren't as in good a position to help with these studies at this time. I fully expect they will as time moves on. And they are helping us with making their public lands available and some of their personnel and all that.
Good.
So the state of Mississippi is a different animal. The state of Arkansas, I fully expect a lot more cooperation from them, because they haven't invested real heavily in turkey research as recently as Alabama had. So, and how we go about that is we've been able to build a fairly, for being just a little over a year old, a fairly effective social media network. And through my career, and like, I think you said you had Jim Ronquistone, Jim Spencer, those kind of guys, been in this industry as communicators for years, myself, Tess. We know a lot of people like Alex and Wayne, and you know those people who've helped us with getting the word out, and it really does help.
And I'm sure that there is more help needed, and we'll continue, and we will talk about that as we get ready to wrap things up here. But we do need to take another break, folks. We're talking with Ron Jolly from Turkeys for Tomorrow. We'll be back with more American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and his friends in just a moment.
This is Brenda Valentine, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
Around your heart, so you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Hey, turkey hunters, this is Alex Rutledge. Have you heard about Apex Ammunition? If you haven't, they are American-owned, American-made, made one at a time, hand-loaded. These turkey loads will give you the confidence that you need to close the deal on that old Hook Daddy Longbeard gobbler. For more information, go to www.apexammunition.com.
Eagle Seed presents American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends. Wayne Locke is back here with you, along with Mike Crace and Ron Jolly. You know, Ron, we were talking in the last segment towards the end there about your organization, about money that's, you know, where it goes, you know, people you're hiring and you know, maybe they're volunteering their time to help you do this research and that. But really, when it comes down to anything, money is the one thing that either keeps an organization going or is the reason they fold. And, you know, for us turkey hunters who want to see not only us, but our children and our grandchildren have that future of turkey hunting, you know, and then we want to get involved. How can people get involved with your organization and learn more about it?
Okay. Let me back up just a step here. When I was mentioning sponsors, I need to mention one more, and sure. That's ONX. I've helped us in a big way. But to get involved, go to turkeysfortomorrow.org. And there's four. We recently decided to take members. We went a year without just trying to find our way, and we realized there's a lot of people willing to support us, and they consider themselves members. But we really didn't have a way to make that a revenue stream that we could depend on. So members is how we're going to try to do that. All of our sponsors really encouraged us to do that. So there's four membership levels. There's a youth, there's an adult, then there's a teen gobbler, and then a lifetime member ship level. So join us, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, subscribe to our newsletter. We're doing a bi-monthly newsletter now, which we'll expand. And you made one mistake when you said the people we're hiring. We don't have any employees at this point. It's going to come to that at some point, but for now we're just trying to put as much emphasis on helping turkeys. And when it gets to be too much for old folks like me, then we'll have to hire somebody.
Yeah, and the membership fees are very reasonable. I'm actually looking at them now. And, you know, anywhere from $2,500 to be a life member. And again, folks, if you've been listening to the show, that money goes to Turkeys for Tomorrow to help pay for the research into why the turkey numbers are declining and you know, what are some of the factors that are contributing to turkey numbers declining or whatever the case may be. And, Ron has talked about, you know, several different things that they're doing. So I think, you know, anybody out there that is a turkey hunter, and I was reading an article the other day that appeared on Facebook about the fact that hunters are conservationists. I mean, there's not anybody that hunts, hardly anybody that hunts, that doesn't understand the need to protect and promote and help the species that we like to hunt prosper. And sometimes the anti-hunters don't understand that. They think we're just out there killing all the deer. Well, no, right. That's not what we're doing. We're hunting deer and we're harvesting deer, but we're also helping for the future of the deer herds. And same way with turkey hunters. Turkey hunters, maybe even more than deer hunters, understand the need to protect some of those turkeys and to figure out why there are some issues in the turkey population. So, Ron, I think it's great work that y'all are doing, and I think I would encourage anybody out there that is a turkey hunter or interested in the turkeys or just likes watching the turkeys down in the field in the evening or in the mornings while you're out sitting on your porch drinking coffee to become a member and help fund the research project.
Yeah.
Let me say this.
Oh, go ahead, Ron.
Let me say this right quick. You hit on it when you said the hunters are conservationists. Mm-hmm. The North American hunting model is the most successful conservation movement on earth, and it's funded by the purchase of hunting license.
Yep.
Because those dollars are matched 3-1 by federal government funds created by the Pittman-Robertson Act. And those funds from license sales and those federal funds fuel your agencies and all the stuff that they do to protect and promote the wildlife that we all cherish.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize, is that how much the government puts in to match, or, you know, like you said, 3-1. I mean, they exceed what you're donating. They're going to exceed what, you know, just a 1-1 match to really help with these programs and that. And, you know, speaking of money, one of the questions I'm sure somebody that's listening to the show right now is thinking to themselves, well, if I donate or not donate, but if I join and I spend $250 on a membership, you know, is that 250? Is that going to stay here in Missouri? Is that going to stay here in Alabama or wherever they live? Or am I going to be funding, you know, a research program in New Mexico, which does nothing for my turkeys that are local?
It does do something for your turkeys that are local, because if it turns out that it's in New Mexico and we discover that it's a parasite that's interrupting productivity, then your agency can take that information and do that test in your state and try to help that problem. If you look at those membership levels, the first two, you see what you get for joining, and the second two, you don't. And for the Team Turkey members, a $250 level, we're designing, Pistol Creek Game Calls is designing and building right now a beautiful Slate and Striker that you'll receive for that $250. But for the life member, there's no description of what you get for that there either, because that is being created as we speak also, and it's a one-of-a-kind oil print, oil painting that Eddie Leroy is doing, and you will receive a print of that original for your $2,500.
Wow.
He's not done with it yet. So that news, we'll start promoting that probably next month as he's getting close to it. And so all this takes time, guys. You know, we're kind of spitballing as we go, but it's all thought out. We just haven't been able to bring it all to life yet.
You're probably a year into this, as you said, Ron. Do you ever step back and go, wow, we've got a lot done in a year, a lot more than I thought we would?
Well, it's kind of like watching a plant grow. You know, if you look at it every day, it doesn't seem like it's growing at all. And that's what I have to do. Most of the guys who are helping with this, so we're so engaged in it, it seems terribly slow to us. But if you back up and look at it from last April to this April, it's none of us would have ever thought we would be at this point in this amount of time. And that's just God's hand on it, and knowing that we're doing the right thing, and everybody's got their shoulder to it, and a lot more people are putting their shoulder to it, which helps.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Ron, again, for the folks that are out there listening, maybe just tuned in, we're talking about Turkeys for Tomorrow, a relatively new organization that is funding research, trying to help with the turkey numbers and the turkey populations and find out what's going on out there with the birds. And tell them again how or where they can go to become a member and to help fund this research.
Go to turkeysfortomorrow.org and click join us, and you'll see the four available membership levels. Join us. Put your shoulder to the task. Take care of your turkeys, and we're going to try to figure out if there is a magic bullet. I doubt there's one. There's one little misperception here that this is a Southeast deal. It's more widespread than that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of attention's been shined on it in the Southeast. You can also go to our Instagram, our Twitter, and our Facebook page, follow us there, and see the stuff that's happening every day. And we'll start learning some stuff this summer about this gobbler chronology, and we'll share that and the disease study, and we'll get first year's preliminaries later this summer, and we'll try to get that out. That should encourage some people to help as well.
Yeah, and maybe we can have you back on the American Roots Outdoors show, and you know, give some people, you know, some updated information. I know that the people that are listening now that are interested, they're going to want to know what's going on.
Right, they're going to want to say, hey, what were those results? These are some cool programs you've got. I'm
dying to hear what you're finding out. All right, Ron, we thank you for being on the show today, and we've got to wrap it up here. And Wayne and I will be doing a bonus. Talk about some other things and just all kinds of stuff. We're in the middle of turkey season, and good luck to all the turkey hunters out there in the world. And Wayne, tell people where they can find the podcast.
You can go to any of your local, your podcast carrier on your phone, your computer, Alexa, just American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge, and look it up, join, subscribe, whatever your podcast carrier wants you to do. And again, there's no cost to that, but you'll get the updates as soon as our episode's released. And, you know, make sure you leave us a review. We just had the review winner that we announced on last week's episode, mm-hmm. and we're going to be doing another one here. And if I can talk Ron into it, I'm going to see if maybe we can get a autographed copy of one of his books.
Oh,
that might be something.
I'm going to go listen to the podcast if we do, and leave a review.
Leave a review. but Ron, when we get back onto the bonus segment here, I want to touch base on some of these programs. I know you got one in Missouri that I think our Missouri listeners here are going to be wanting to hear about. So everybody, thanks again for listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge. Like we say here at American Roots, when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
So you never got to worry what the wind might do. American
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Amped Outdoors presents American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends. This is Wayne Locke. I got Mike Creason in the studio here with me working the board, working his magic, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. And I say that every week, but man, folks, you got to give Mike the credit that is due. He is he's the one that puts this together and allows us to get the stuff done, and then sends it over to me, and I put the podcast together. He does the radio show, and if you're listening to this, that means you're listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. If you missed any of the radio show, for our radio show listeners, you can hear the whole thing on the podcast, and that's the greatest thing about the podcast. If you're at work and you miss it, don't fret. Listen to it Sunday night, Tuesday, whenever. You have access to the last 3 years. Go to your, you know, whatever podcast you like listening to.
Radio and the bonus.
Yep. Find your favorite guest, which this week our favorite guest is Ron Jolly. And Ron is back with us, and we're going to talk some more about turkeys for tomorrow and that. But, you know, one of the things we talked about at the end of the radio show was, you know, doing a book giveaway with your book, Ron. Now, where can people find your book if they say just want to purchase it as a gift or for themselves to read?
I have a Memories of Spring Facebook page, and you can go find it there, or you can find it on Amazon and find it there.
Awesome.
And find copies, go to Memories of Spring.
Okay. And I'm going to make sure I leave a link for our podcast listeners. They can just scroll up on the podcast and the link will be right there. They touch it and takes you right to your page there, so they can order that book. And again, we want to thank you for, you know, donating a book, an autographed book for our listeners to have a chance to win in that. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And Ron, for those of the folks that maybe didn't hear the first part of the radio show this week and are on the podcast, tell us a little bit about how the book came about and what is in there. I mean, what are they going to get when they get that copy of the book?
The book came about as over a lifetime of turkey hunting, my experiences with and the people that you meet along the way, and some of the old hard-headed turkeys that you love to hate or hate to love, and whatever that turns out. But they're heart-touching stories. There's really no how-to in it, but there's a lot of that you read between the lines and figure out what worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. The book will make you cry in places, it'll make you laugh in places, but it'll make you appreciate everything that, that God let us have as turkey hunters.
Is there one story in there in particular that stands out as maybe your favorite?
Yes, sir. When I took the job at Primo's, my dad looked me in the eye and says, "You're going to have to tell everybody all this stuff I've been teaching you about turkey hunting, right?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "I hope you've learned everything you need to know from me, because I'll not hunt with you again." And he didn't. He didn't. He wasn't angry with me. He just didn't want to tell people what he knew, because he was smart enough to know that, and there had always been turkeys here like they were in those days when I took that job. So when he was passing away, when his time was up, he called me, and he was in Texas with my sister, and for the first time in 20-some years, he says, in a weak voice, he said, "Bring you turkey hunting stuff." I did. And when I got there, he was gone 2 days later. And in the corner of that room was his mossy oak bottomland stuff and the last turkey gun I bought him. And in the pocket of that coat, of his coat, was two Winchester shells when they first came out with those little black shells that with the copper shot and all that. And we buried him, and a week later, I killed a bird with one of those shells in his gun. So,
wow,
that's one that I'm very, very proud of.
Well, I see what you mean now, saying that you read this book, you'll laugh and you'll cry, because
Wayne and I are both crying right now.
that's a tearjerker. I mean, Mike and I both have kids that are older, and I'm thinking, you know, holy cow, you know, I mean, that's just. Yeah.
So, folks, there you go. There's an example of now. What about to the other end of the spectrum, Ron? Something maybe that you know is going to make somebody laugh. I mean, and I would think maybe this is where an Alex Rutledge story might come in.
what comes to mind there is a turkey that the story's called the Turkey Ghost, and I'd been hunting this one bird. He lived on a ridge between two big flat sloughs, and he never walked in there. He always flew in there from the other side of one slough or the other and landed and roosted on that ridge. So after 3 days of seeing him every day, trying to figure out which way he's going to fly down on that ridge and walk out of there, because it's only 70 yards wide. And I hadn't been able to guess right yet, but I did realize that if I called to him, he was going to go the other way. So the last afternoon when he flew in and landed, I could have shot him off a limb, but I wouldn't. I waited till it got black dark, and I got up, and I'm backing down the road, getting out of there, and I forgot about a little top that had fallen across the road, and I tripped. I was about 80, 90 yards from him by then. I tripped and fell over backwards, and everything in my vest spilled out that road. And a roll of toilet paper was just glowing in the dark. So I said, And I took that, y'all heard of the Tumor Oaks at Tumor's Corner at Auburn, how they roll it with paper. That was toilet paper after every victory.
Yeah.
Well, I did that to that little treetop. And threw it all in the road. There was toilet paper blowing in the wind. And I went around to the other side of him the next morning and stopped 100 yards short of him, and when he flew down, I yelped at him, and he walked up in the road and strutted and walked away from me. And when he went around that curve and saw all that stuff, he came running right back to me.
He's like, "Oh, heck no."
But I yelped to him. I did.
Well, what a great story, and more stories in the book, folks. Get you a copy. And Wayne, it's been a joy having Ron Jolly on with us today on the radio show and then here on the bonus. And I know we need to kind of wrap this thing up.
Yeah, and Ron, again, you know, thank you very much for joining us and you know, getting the information out there about turkeys for tomorrow, because if people don't know about it, they can't. You know, join. I mean, if they don't join, they can't get the money to you for you to do these programs with, because these programs are huge. Are we ever going to get our numbers back that we had, you know, 20 years ago? Probably not, but we need to reverse the direction that some of our states are heading right now.
Who's to say we can't if we do the right things? When you go to Memories of Spring Facebook, there's also a limited edition call line at Preston Pittman, and I do appreciate you checking it out.
Awesome. Again, everybody, you've been listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends. And Ron, thanks again. Mike, thank you. And like we say here at American Roots, when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.